Hey there, welcome to the Saturday edition of the Gary Zimak Show. Today we enter day 13 of our preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Remember, since it is the weekend, this is a 15-minute show, so we're going to get right to it to talk about the next phase of this preparation. Now, we just spent 12 days ridding ourselves of the spirit of the world. We tried to do the best we could. Obviously, we're going to still have some of the world's influence on us, but we did our best trying to get rid of the spirit of the world. Now, this week, we launch into a week dedicated for self-knowledge, knowledge of self. How do we really look in God's eyes? You know, every one of us thinks we look a certain way. We might act a certain way. Oh, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a terrible person. Well, we're often not the best judge of that because we have a distorted view of ourselves. So for the next 7 days, every segment from now on is going to be shorter than the first one that we did. For the next 7 days, we're going to take a look at ourselves and understand a little bit about why we need to make this consecration so we can get closer to Jesus. As I've been kidding around about this for the past several days, it's not fun. Why? Because we're going to realize that we're sinners. We kid ourselves sometimes. And if you're going into this thinking you're a horrible sinner, you're probably not as bad as you think you are. You know, again, some people think they're horrible people, they're hopeless. Some people think they're better than they are. It's hard to target this show to both ends of the spectrum. Suffice to say that most of us are not have a distorted image of ourselves. So we're going to look inside ourselves to try to see us as God sees us and see that there is a need for total consecration. That's the purpose of this. I'm going to be using a book called Preparation for Total Consecration to Jesus Through Mary, according to St. Louis de Montfort. This book is by Father Hugh Gillespie. At least I'm going to use that for today and probably tomorrow's meditation. Remember that I'm jumping around using different sources to give you the best of the best. That's the way we're doing total consecration this year. Father Hugh Gillespie is a Montfortian priest. This book was written for Montfort Publications. He is a priest of the order founded by St. Louis de Montfort. So he gets this whole concept of total consecration and St. Louis de Montfort. All right, quick prayer, and then we'll get right to it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, help us today on our weekend version of preparation for total consecration as we launch into this week looking inside of ourselves. Allow your Holy Spirit to help us get a true picture of what we're all about. We ask for this in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. And Saint Louis de Montfort, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Quickly, if you want to find out more information about the work that I do, invite me to your parish, check out my books. Check out my new podcast for warriors. The best place to go is followingthetruth.com, followingthetruth.com. Also, I just created a new website, a new domain name, actually. It's called podcastforwarriors.com. That's going to point you directly to my new podcast. If you or somebody in your life is a warrior, podcastforwarriors.com. Doesn't get any easier than that, right? Okay, the grace of self-knowledge. I'm going to start out by reading a little something from this book, and then we'll look at the actual meditation for today. Father de Montfort writes that during this week, those who seek to be filled with the Spirit of Jesus should offer up all their prayers and acts of devotion to acquire knowledge of themselves and sorrow for their sins. Having struggled against the spirit of the world for 12 days, we come to the realization that the spirit of the world is not only self-centered, it is self-deceiving. In turning away from the Lord, the worldly spirit founds its life upon the lie of its false and complacent self-sufficiency and seeks to order all things in terms of its self-indulgence. In refusing to know the Lord, the worldly spirit is incapable of knowing the truth about itself. This is why the step of self-knowledge follows necessarily upon a turning away from the spirit of the world, and also why the first 12 days are so necessary for this process. Only now can we begin to come to terms with the truth of ourselves. True self-knowledge is not a thing that is easily obtained, nor can it be obtained solely through our own efforts. It is a gift from God, a grace so important that Father de Montfort calls it that great grace, which is the foundation of all others. So you see what's happening here? We looked at the spirit of the world. The world is telling us, go out and get all the pleasure you can. It's all about you. You need to be the center of your universe. When we look at Christianity, Christ says, give up your life. Give up your life for me. Totally opposite picture. Unless you give up your life, you'll never be able to have eternal life. That's the message of Christ. Out in the world, you're going to hear something different. So obviously, we have to look now at a realistic picture of ourselves in order to continue on with the process. Let's see. In this book, Father Gillespie goes on to say, humility is the key to this step. Coming to terms with who we are, truly, who we truly are, requires that we recognize, as we will endeavor to do on the second day of this week, that none of us is the owner and master of his life. Did you catch that? None of us is the owner and master of his or her life. Whether one is willing to admit so or not doesn't change the fundamental reality that each of us belongs to Almighty God, and that it is to God that we are accountable for the life which we have been given. Baptized into the dying and rising of Jesus, given a share in his life, the Christian belongs more fully and intimately to the Almighty than any other. This, too, is the reality of our lives. There is a fundamental greatness about us that Father de Montfort would have us recognize, a greatness that has nothing to do with our talents or merits or accomplishments, but that is a divine gift. Recognizing this gift, in all of its greatness, however, should humble us with the additional recognition of how easily and often we allow the power of sin to rob us of our full dignity. St. Louis de Montfort would have us beg the Lord and His Holy Spirit to teach us three things about ourselves this week. Number one, the life of holiness to which we are called as a result of our belonging completely to Jesus Christ. The extent of which to which we are unable, due to sinfulness, weakness, and inconstancy, to fully and authentically live this life of holiness by our own efforts. Number three, that we need help to live the life of grace. Let's see. All right, we're going to leave it there. And now we are going to... I'm trying to edit here a little bit. I'm not going to have time to read everything. And that's really, I think that's a good place to leave it before we go into the meditation. That really sets it up. The idea that you and me, we don't belong to ourselves. We are not the master of our lives. We were created by God. Again, that's something you're not going to hear in the world, but you need to hear that. You need to hear that, because understanding that changes everything. You don't live for yourself anymore once you start to believe and accept that. You realize that you're going to have to account for this gift of the life that you have been given. On the day of your death, you're going to be judged. That judgment will involve an accounting of how you spent the days of your life. And when we get through this week, we're going to realize that we got some work to do. And it'll really increase that desire for total consecration. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. Day one, which is day one of the seven-day period that we're about to enter into, baptized into the dying and rising of Christ. Now, the way this book, particular book, works is that there's a scripture passage which starts it off. Romans 6, 3 through 11. The words of St. Paul. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him in baptism, by baptism into death. So that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the sinful body might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. For we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, a little passage from St. Louis de Montfort and his book, True Devotion. Men, says St. Thomas, vow in baptism to renounce the devil and all his seductions. This vow, says St. Augustine, is the greatest and most indispensable of all vows. Canon law experts say the same thing. The vow we make at baptism is the most important of all vows. But does anyone keep this great vow? Does anyone fulfill the promises of baptism faithfully? It is not true, is it not true, sorry, that nearly all Christians prove unfaithful to the promises made to Jesus in baptism? Where does this universal failure come from, if not from man's habitual forgetfulness of the promises and responsibilities of baptism, and from the fact that scarcely anyone makes a personal ratification of the contract made with God through his sponsors? That's powerful, isn't it? We vowed when we were baptized, or our godparents made the vow for us, but the fact of the matter is we get to reaffirm that vow every year on Easter when we do the proclamation of our baptism, the renewal. I couldn't think of the word, the renewal of our baptismal vows. So we have vowed to renounce the devil and all his seductions. And I've said this before, every time we sin, we're not doing that. We're following Satan. You know, it might not be a conscious decision to follow him, but we are not living up to our baptismal vow. Now, a question in the book, what is the vow we make in baptism? Are you conscious in your daily living of the importance of keeping this great promise? In your life, do you have difficulty in being faithful to your commitments or in keeping the promises you make? Does making and keeping a permanent commitment frighten you? All right, so here we have it. We recognize the fact that we made a promise, or the promise was made for us, and we renewed that promise. So it's not like we could say, well, I didn't make the promise. No, you did. Every Easter, you say it when you're at Mass, and we renew our baptismal vows. You made that promise to not follow Satan, to follow the Lord, and to reject Satan. Again, every time you sin, you're not living up to that. Now, what's the point? Is Gary trying to make you feel bad? Is Father de Montfort and the Father Gillespie here, are they trying to make you feel bad? No, what we're trying to do is make you realize that there's a problem. And the church offers a solution to the problem. You see what we're doing here? We're just giving you reasons, giving you motivation to continue on with this total consecration preparation. We need it. We need it because, look, again, you're going to be judged one day, and you're going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to say, well, how come you didn't live up to your baptismal promise of rejecting Satan? And you're going to say, well, I really tried. I tried as hard as I could. And he's going to say, I mean, I don't know if he's going to say this, but he could say this, well, what about total consecration? The purpose of total consecration is to help you better live out your baptismal vows. Did you make your total consecration? Don't you want to be in a position where you could say, yeah, Lord, I did. I did. And he'll say, great. I don't care if you failed. Thanks for trying. You see, that's why it's important that we recognize we need help. And total consecration will give you that help. All right? Sound good? Now, I'm going to run. We are out of time for this Saturday. Remember, we're going to be on the air Sunday as well for another 15-minute show. Any questions? Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. And please continue to visit my website, followingthetruth.com, and send a donation my way if you'd like to help me sustain my ministry. I'd greatly appreciate it. Have a wonderful day, and we will talk to you tomorrow. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.